And one of the things I've noticed this summer is that when a bee flies near me, I don't try to kill it because I don't want to make colony collapse disorder any worse than it already is. Not that my actions would make a difference, but trying to do whatever I can to help after hearing that more than 30% of the honeybee colonies in the U.S. did not make it through last year. In a moment, we'll hear more about what's going on, but first to a possible solution. Researchers are wondering if other species of bees can fill the gaps left by vanishing honeybees. Lou Bluen from WESA in Pittsburgh reports.
If you want to hang out with a bunch of bees, you better be prepared for a little pain.
I hope you don't get stung, but I probably get. I mean, I've already been stung a few times today.
That's Mario Padilla. He's a research tech at Penn State University who works with honeybees. And in fact, if you ever wanted to know what a bee sting sounds like, here you go. As Padilla's explaining something, a worker bee lands right on the microphone and tries to take it out.
Old enough to go out into the world, and as we can see on the mic right now, there's a bee trying to sting it. If that was your skin, you would have gotten stung.
Padilla is raising these honeybees for researchers like Marianne Frazier, who says it's almost as if honeybees aren't just a species anymore. They become a technology that we literally pack in boxes, load onto semi-trucks, and ship all over the country to do work for us.
So the first crop to be pollinated in the spring is almonds. And about a third of the colonies in the United States are trucked out to California to pollinate one crop.
After that, beekeepers load them up and truck them all the way back to Pennsylvania to pollinate apples and cherries.
Then they'll go up to Maine and pollinate blueberries, and Massachusetts and pollinate cranberries.
And you get the idea. But it's a system that's wearing honeybees out. A combination of diseases, stress, parasites, pesticides, colony collapse disorder, a mysterious phenomenon which scientists still don't understand, have all taken their toll on honeybees. And that could put our own species in a tight spot. Honeybees pollinate about a third of our crops. That's about $15 billion of the economy.
So what happens if we lose the honeybee? Well, it's not the end of the world.
That's Dave Bittinger. He's also a researcher at Penn State. And if he sounds confident, he is. That's because Bittinger is starting to see that other bees, unsung bees, could start picking up the slack. His all-star that he's studying now is a type of osmia bee that, at least in apple orchards, is kind of showing up honeybees.
Honeybee's a little bit lazy. It'll only maybe visit one or two flowers per minute. An osmia will do up to 15 flowers per minute. And we've seen with osmia, they can carry up to 100 times more pollen than what a honeybee can.
Bittinger says some apple farmers are finding they can forego renting honeybees altogether because these osmia and the 200 other bee species that live wild around the orchards are pretty much getting the job done. And that's just the tip of the other bee iceberg.
Oh, look at all these bees on the Monarda. Scientifically, I appreciate them, but on a personal level, I just feel giddy when I see this many bees.
That's Carly Miller. She's a grad student in Penn State's entomology department, and today she's in a pumpkin patch looking for squash bees.
The squash bees are like little Wall Street bees, and they fly around quickly, everywhere, fast, ping, ping. They like barely look in a flower, and then they're off to the next one, and they can't decide what to do with themselves. And half the time, they'll fly into you because they're so busy flying and fall into a flower, and they're like, oh, okay, I'll use this one.
But squash bees don't deserve all the credit. Later in the summer, native bumblebees take over the pumpkin patch. And just like in apple orchards, scientists are finding that between these two kinds of bees, pumpkin and squash farmers can probably get by without using honeybees. It's all part of a new paradigm of diversification that entomologist Shelby Fleischer appropriately calls Plan B.
I think the key to remember is resilience. So don't just aim for any one species. Historically, there's been a lot of emphasis on let's make honeybees our pollinator. And resilience would suggest that we should try and support a community of bees.
And that is where things can get tricky, because most other bees don't act like honeybees. Honeybees are freaks in the bee world. They live in a box that you can move from place to place. Most other bees are actually solitary and nest in dead trees or in the ground, so you can't move them around. So to keep a diverse community of other bees on the farm, Carly Miller says farmers will have to start adding bee habitat. That means planting things like wildflower patches next to crops so that other bees have something to eat and live in year-round.
So it's planting your floral resources, making sure you choose the right flowers that are going to come up early enough, that have pollen resources, that have nectar resources, and that will finish their bloom early enough so that when all the crops are available, the bees then switch to a new food source and are doing the pollination in your crops.
Which is not exactly an easy formula to figure out. It varies crop by crop, even region by region. That's why even with all this excitement over other bees, researcher Marianne Fraser says we won't be walking away from honeybees anytime soon.
In terms of having a bee that is as versatile as honeybees, that bee doesn't exist. I mean, it just isn't out there.
Most importantly, Fraser says, what's good for all other bees, habitat, a diverse diet, using fewer pesticides, that's good for honeybees too. So you do good by one species, you do good by all of them. And they'll continue to do good by all of us, at least most of the time.
I got stung. And that was a sting that was not even an invited sting. I was minding my own business sting.
For here and now, I'm Lou Bluin.
I'm used to it. Don't worry about it. I might scream, but it'll be okay.